This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 39.
Do you want me to help you or not?
Tom lay on the floor, blood pooling around him. Silas seemed annoyed and contrite at the same time.
I should have warned you, but you could be such a baby.
Tom shook uncontrollably and gawked at the twin lines of flesh parting like tiny red seas across his forearm. Silas had the serum in his hand now. The blade laid theatrically across a bench and beyond the man's reach.
Look at the blood, boy. Look at it.
Unable to take his eyes off it, Tom wondered what he could mean. He thought he was going to die from massive bleeding, but as he tried to focus on what Silas was getting at, he suddenly realized that the spurting liquid was turning from bright red to a trickly black before his eyes. The bleeding stopped seconds later and became a weeping, scabbing wound with black streaks gelling like stalactites between his underarm and the floor.
I wouldn't hurt you, boy. We need each other.
He approached Tom slowly, all the while trying to reassure him that he was going to be all right. Tom stared between his eyes and the serum coming ever closer. At last, trembling like a drowned dog, his arm met the vial and a small drop of red liquid spilled into the cut above his wrist. Silas stood back, a smile of satisfaction playing his lips. Tom stared at the gashes, and as he did, the liquid seeped into the skin and a spreading green goo gulched the canyon to cover the complete site. Second by second, with the speed of a moving watch minute, the green turned to yellow, and blue and pink. It hardened in some places and softened in others, and then the homogeneous area turned to 1,000 autonomous blobs bubbling, multiplying, splitting and joining at their own pace, knitting and sewing his body like tiny pulsating boils on the flesh of a devil. Tom held his arm away from his body, supported by his left hand. He was horrified and fascinated by the process and almost puked as the boils burst in coordinated waves and a multicoloured mix of pussy biofluid once more swamped the area and the process began all over again.
Wonderful. Perfect.
Silas rasped. He stood, round-shouldered, and clasped his hands repeatedly around the vial in childlike excitement. The world seemed to pause as wave after wave of the macabre process started and progressed to the stage of pussy bursting boils, until finally, some time that seemed only minutes later, the final scab fell away to leave a patch of skin in perfect health. No scar, no wound, nothing. Just like his cut shoulder, his bruised ankle. Only then did Tom switch his attention to the other cut. In the few minutes it took to heal the first wound, the second, untreated area, had formed a deep and semi-crusty black gash that had begun the same healing process but slowed to the pace of budding fruit. And the pain. It was not specific to his arm but swept throughout his body in sickening waves. He felt as though his whole system was being raped of its resources, plundered and left weak to defend and rebuild his arm. He shivered. Fear and fever squabbling for control, and as he fought back the bile and vomit threatening to erupt from his stomach, his head suddenly swayed, the lab rolled sideways, and Tom's world slipped away in sweet, sweet deliverance. According to Silas, Tom was out for no more than an hour. He lay where he had been left. Considering Silas's determination that he should be rested and well, his treatment of the boy was callous. This did not surprise Tom. Blood crusted the floor around him and matted his clothes. He could not see Silas at first, but heard him whistling tunelessly behind the large machine he'd used to create the serum. He looked at his arm and was dismayed to see that the second wound, although remarkably improved, was still damaged. He could now move his forefinger, but the middle still held tight and useless in the centre of his bloody hand. He tried to stand, cradling his arm, succeeding only when he rolled onto his knees and wiggled up with his back to the wall. Silas looked over to him from his position at the monitor but said nothing and went back to work. The boy's arm throbbed. He approached the man cautiously, his eyes on the bloody knife lying to the side, still within easy reach of a sudden stretch.
"You're a mess,"
the man said without looking up. I need more serum," said Tom. It hurts like hell."
"It hurts nothing like hell, boy. Clean yourself up."
"But the serum, it worked so well. Please, it'll stop the pain."
"There's none left."
Tom looked at the man confused, and only then noticed something different about him. He seemed to sit straighter, his voice no longer swimming in wet phlegm. He spied the vial then, lying close to the knife that up till now had held every second of his attention. It was empty. He swung an accusatory stare at the old man, and the old man stood, his hunch gone, sweat slicking his face, beads of glass lining his top lip, his forehead and running misplaced tears down his cheeks. His shirt was stained, sticking to his scrawny body, and he glowered at Tom, daring him to challenge his authority.
"I said, clean yourself up, you pathetic."
Tom eyed the knife, and through clenched and chattering teeth, Silas smiled a mirthless smile and fingered his ring. Tom cradled his arm, turned on his heel, and retreated to the little room.
Chapter 40. There were no more clothes to change into, but Tom soon realized he could pick most of the blood free of the cloth by peeling it like dried scab from skin. His arm throbbed, his heart thrummed, and his head searched for an idea. Anything. He splashed his face and used his old clothes to wipe up the milk at the door. He thought about the knife lying unattended in the lab, and he thought too about what had just happened. Silas had used Tom, and Tom suffered for it in more ways than one, but distanced from the events, he was excited too. He was not mad after all. He had been injured on his journey to Cregan, and something in his blood had the power to heal his wounds fast. The machine next door had concentrated the effect, and Silas had tested it on Tom before taking the serum himself. The man's cynical reassurance to Tom that they needed each other slapped him in the face. He didn't need Silas, but Silas sure as hell needed him. This realization liberated Tom. It freed his anger and gave it focus. He was the powerful one. He'd not lie down defeated. He burst from the room and approached Silas as he sat at the monitor. "I need this," he announced, picking up the syringe. Silas grabbed his ring finger, but Tom stood firm. "I'm in pain. I can't help if I can't think for the pain." He plunged the needle into the crook of his arm, tapping the vein first time as though the action was routine. He got lucky. Blood flooded the tube. Silas loosened his grip on the ring. Pulling the needle free, Tom inserted it into the machine, copying Silas's procedure as near as he could recall. Turning to the monitor, Tom noted a flicker of satisfaction live and die on Silas's lips. The boy had no idea what to do next.
I told you we needed each other,
the man said, typing as he spoke. Tom held back his bile and said,
thanks.
15 minutes later, Tom spread a small droplet of serum onto his wound, and 10 minutes after that, he was perfectly whole. His skin smooth, his fingers, his wrist, his arm fully mobile and in control. Silas, however, was too preoccupied by his own health to notice Tom's recovery. Amazing as it was not as amazing as Silas's own. The man was ill, his ancient skin blackened, crumbling by the minute. Stomach cramps doubled his creaking frame over the keyboard. If it had not been for the ever-threatening ring gripped as it was at Silas's stomach, Tom would have run from the lab as though it was about to blow. Instead, he slipped the serum into his pocket and eyed the knife with envious eyes. Silas saw the look and grinned through the pain.
Try it, boy. Try it.
Tom backed away and sat down in the chair close by. Can I help?
Soon.
So much menace in one little word. As Tom wondered what lay ahead, Silas suddenly doubled over again, his face stretched in pain. Without thinking, Tom stepped forward to help him, but Silas jumped to his feet, faced the boy, spitting orders and twisting the ring like a worry bead. Tom flinched, expecting the pain to follow.
Inside!
Silas yelled. The man's knees buckled, and he staggered forward, recovering just enough to push Tom towards a small cell once more. Could Tom rush him? Pull his hands apart before he could activate the thing? It was a one-shot chance. If he failed, it would be over. Any pretense of trust, any hope of lulling the man into relaxing his guard would be over. Somehow, Tom knew that the enraged boy of his dreams would have taken the chance without thought. But the new Tom had a plan. Fighting the triumphant fantasy of the boy Victor standing over the vanquished and dying creature at his feet, he allowed himself to be pushed across the lab. One thing at a time, he told himself. Stay calm. He returned to the cell, and Silas, shivering, staggering, and doubled up with cramps, slammed the door and turned the key. Tom slid his back down the door and breathed deeply, not quite believing he got away with what he'd just done. He removed the serum from his pocket, studied its contents, and smiled as Silas thrashed outside, moaning in agony and generally acting like a big baby. It took Tom a few minutes to find something that would do the trick. He found it in the plastic bottle of the shower gel. Emptying its contents in the sink, Tom cleaned it and placed it on the floor. The plastic was hard, the product surprisingly cheap for such a grand house. It cracked in multiple directions and crumpled to a crazy paved mess in one stamp of his foot. Tom retrieved the mangled debris and ripped a likely piece in his hands. It was sharp, with multiple forks giving the impression of broken glass. It was stiff, though, and large enough for the purpose he had in mind. He'd have to be careful not to break the thing while it was in use. Placing the vial on the floor within easy reach, but out of accent range, he slid the bathroom door closed and set his plan in motion. It was one thing to imagine the pain and difficulty of the operation, but quite another to live through it and make it happen. He hyperventilated for a count of 10. In, out, in, out, in short, panting bursts, building his courage, delaying the pain. And then he did it.
DreamWorks.com.